flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why not? Why not, Jimmy Butler?
Butler's got 49 points! 14 in the fourth quarter! Butler! One shot! Good!
Jimmy Butler has done it again.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, and a lot to get to here. 888-957-9570, you in or out on Jimmy Butler. We'll tell you why we're asking here in a moment. Also, Steph Curry just added to the injury report and questionable for a game against Utah tonight. And I haven't really said this yet, but I'll go ahead and say it, and I don't normally say things like this, but if you don't win this basketball game tonight, you shouldn't trade for anyone.
Yeah, Utah's bad.
Anyone. They're horrific.
They are one of the teams that is actively trying to lose basketball
trying
games.
To lose.
And they're great at that.
And they're good at it. The Warriors, all you need to know, Warrior fans, you've watched this team play. They are 13.5-point favorites in this game tonight, although that may have changed with the Steph news. But
can I
go ahead.
Read you the Utah injury report?
Yes, you
Jordan
can.
Clarkson, out. John Collins, out. Walker Kessler, out. Lauri Markkanen, out.
Oh, Markkanen is out?
Yes.
He was not out earlier, was he?
I saw the
injury report earlier. It did not have Markkanen on it.
Low back injury management for Lauri Markkanen.
I didn't know he was out, too.
So I would imagine this Stephen Curry addition to the injury report is this is a day that we could probably buy him a day off and still win a basketball game. So let's do that.
Although, for those of you interested, if you think that Steph Curry might be in or out, the number just dropped 2 points.
From 13 to 11?
It's now 11.5, from 13.5. So Vegas is telling you that I think Steph's going to miss this game.
And all you need to know about this Utah team is this Warrior team, without Steph, is still double-digit favorites.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry I missed that. I didn't know Markkanen wasn't playing.
And neither is Jordan Clarkson, neither is Walker Kessler.
Well, and I knew that.
And neither is John Collins.
Okay, so this is basically Collins Sexton versus Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, don't worry.
Is that what we're doing tonight?
Collins Sexton is on the injury report, but he's available.
He's available.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he's going to play, but they're allowed to play him. So that's good. Oh, my God. So anyway, there's that, and then there's this. Brian Windhorst, ESPN.
Well, the Heat really are trying to move him. I think there might be a perception out there because it seems like it's gone on for weeks that they're not, but they are. And from the sources I've been talking to for the last really 48 hours, but definitely tonight, the Heat's price has dropped. They are willing to do more than they were when this all started last month. The Heat are trying to get this done. The difficulty, Scott, is the one team that really, really wants Jimmy Butler and the team that he really, really wants to go to is the Phoenix Suns. And the Suns have basically the most untradeable contract in the league, not just because Bradley Beal has a no-trade clause, but because how much he's owed on that contract versus what his production is. And even if you could convince him to accept a trade to a certain place, it's a hard thing to do. And so you're really trying to squeeze not just drops of blood out of a stone, you're trying to squeeze a gallon of blood out of a stone. And these teams have been running their heads into it for weeks, and it's not helping what's going on the court and off the court with Jimmy and the Heat.
Okay, so there's a broad view of the situation, but listen to where Windhorst goes next.
What's happened here, again, from my discussions with the league, and I want to be real careful, I am not saying this is for sure going to happen. I am not predicting what's going to happen. But I do think some teams that thought they were out of this are coming back in because it doesn't look like the Suns and Heat are going to be able to consummate a deal. I think we might see a team swoop in here and get Jimmy Butler at a cheap price, a guy who can be the best player in a playoff series at a bargain price. And I think that's the phase of this where we're at. And so if a team pulls that off, and I'm not going to tell you the teams that are trying because I can't wade into those waters, this could be a trade that affects the outcome of this season. So definitely a very interesting next 2, 3, 4 days here.
Okay, so new teams are on the block, and he straight says, I don't think the Suns and Heat are going to be able to get this done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a piece of me that when I heard all this today, I'm like, oh, this is the Heat trying to just threaten the Suns. Like, okay, we'll go somewhere else. But
it's not entirely up to the Suns.
No, it's not entirely up to anyone. In fact, it's kind of if you don't have Bradley Beal's seal of approval, the whole thing's off.
One, it's up to Bradley Beal. And two, it's up to not necessarily the Heat, but the third team, the fourth team in the deal to want Bradley Beal.
Whoever's going
to
get Bradley Beal.
Or to be paid enough draft picks to want Bradley Beal.
Right. So, so here we are. And the Warriors are reportedly back in because the price is lower. To me, that means, and again, go back to Sam Amick, FanDuel TV. 3 weeks ago, he said this.
Their reasoning for not going after Jimmy, even beyond the money, is that to this point, they've been pretty happy with Andrew Wiggins' play. And the idea of also giving up a Jonathan Kuminga in that deal, even though he's hurt right now, is something they weren't looking to do. The prospect of Wiggins and Kuminga going out and Butler coming in, they didn't like kind of how that looked for them.
Okay, but what about just Wiggins?
And that's like, the update.
I think that
today,
that, yeah.
Maybe.
What if you could keep Jonathan Kuminga and get Jimmy Butler? I get it. You're not in under any circumstances, but you're in.
Yes.
And I'm not out under any circumstances, but I'm out. I think that's the best way to sort of summarize our thoughts.
There's
today.
A little bit of overlap. Just a little bit.
I can see this tiny little window where it makes sense. I'm willing to give up nothing. I do not really like the idea because I think Jimmy is a problem. I also do not think he's the type of player. You know, we talk about, this is what's funny, maximizing Steph doesn't just mean trying. Maximizing Steph means understanding the kind of player who would help him. And to me, that's not just a name. It's a skill set. And that's kind of a point I made last week when you saw that night where Quentin Post and Gui Santos started nailing threes. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be those guys, but that's what Steph needs. He needs space creators. And what Jimmy is he's not a space creator. He's a great player. He's just another option. But maximizing Steph to me means how do you play at your best? Maybe that's not enough anymore, but Jimmy might not be enough either. But he needs space creators, and Jimmy Butler is kind of like Andrew Wiggins but better, and like Jonathan Kuminga but more experienced. in that he can do everything, but none of them are consistent three-point shooters.
Yeah, I hear you. And, I mean, I'll be the first to admit, and I'm in on the idea of acquiring him, I'll be the first to admit that it's not an ideal, perfect, seamless fit. And you're right. Like, Steph Curry and the Warriors' offense are at their best when you have Steph and you have a great passer in Draymond surrounded by great shooters everywhere else. It's why Steph and Klay and Dre were perfect for each other, because you have two of the greatest shooters ever and one of the most unique offensive players and defensive players, but offensive players in Draymond Green being the distributor and the hub for all of it. So I'm with you there. But I think also from a larger perspective, if I were to zoom out just a little bit, and this is something that it kind of popped into my head and like just became immediately clear to me watching the Lakers come in on Saturday and just dominate the Warriors and win that basketball game. I saw LeBron James, who's now, 40 years old and has just been selected to his 21st All-Star game in his career. I saw a LeBron James that, because he has a running mate in Anthony Davis that isn't like taking plays off, but can kind of chill during the course of games and during the course of a season at times. And then when he has to turn it on, say in a big game in the regular season or in a big moment or in just like a fourth quarter here and there, or in a postseason series, or in a postseason run, he can. Because Anthony Davis allowed him to save up his energy for those moments. Stephen Curry right now, you see it every time you watch him take the floor with this Warrior team, specifically without Jonathan Kuminga. He has to work harder than he ever has. Ever. And he's 36 years old, almost 37. And that's just on offense. He's also getting targeted on defense. I saw GP2 drive past LeBron James and score down low on LeBron.
Yep.
GP2. Like, LeBron has the ability to just kind of coast during games. Steph does not have that ability. And I'm not saying that a 35-year-old Jimmy Butler is the ideal partner for Steph, because of course it's not. But at least it's somebody where when he's playing for you, you know he can take some of that responsibility consistently off of Steph's shoulders and can potentially alleviate some of those stressors and can make Steph better as a result, because he doesn't have to do everything for every single time he takes the floor anymore.
I think it's a great point. I really do, on multiple levels, which is, and maybe this is just, you know, my quick answer would be, okay, great, but is that creatable? You know, it's like, okay, so your larger point is Steph needs to be able to just lean on someone, not have all the defense running at him, somebody who can take that number one role when he sits.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things would point to, I guess, where you're getting at, which is, okay, so Jimmy Butler. Sure, I get that, but the idea of, so LeBron's got Anthony Davis. An Anthony Davis is not available.
Yeah,
I don't know that there's anyone out there that you can go, because like Jimmy kind of needs someone to lean on too, because both of them are north of 35 mm-hmm. years old. So I don't know that that's available, number one, but it is a very, very fair comment to say that's the blueprint where a team can still at least look like it might succeed at a high level when someone is well north of 35 years old. You have to be able to lean on someone else. Like, we're watching the Laker game right now, and you don't want to know what LeBron James did 7 minutes into the game? Went and sat on the bench. Like, he's taken minutes off already in the first quarter, and they manage the minutes that way. There are more breaks baked in, and they ask less of him, especially in the first half of games, and they don't run the ball through him all that time. Like, the whole thing, whether he's playing or not, is built on sort of buying him some energy. You're right. Steph does not have that right now. And I do think that's also why he goes on prolonged periods like he did in the second half against the Lakers.
Didn't score.
Poor play, because he's just worn out.
And it's not like it was the Sacramento game where he wasn't getting shots up. Like, that's one example where Sacramento's just doubling him to oblivion, forcing him to pass the ball up so he can't even get a look on Saturday in the second half against the Lakers. He was getting looks. He was just missing them.
Yep.
Whether it's he's tired or just a bad night, whatever the case is, the thumb is bothering him. I know we talked about the thumb postgame on Saturday. Like, this is all there. And obviously, I mean, I can already see all the texts coming in and people calling in and say, well, duh, get Steph a running mate. Like, that's obvious. But, like, my point is just bringing in, like, an 18-point-per-game scorer. Like, yeah, that's good. It'll make you better. It's not enough. You need.
They already did that.
They already did that with Dennis Schroeder. You need some, like, the whole talk about maximizing Steph. Like, the way to maximize Steph is to make it so you don't need Steph to feel like he has to maximize himself over an 82-game season.
Right. I think what you're saying, it's not that simple of bring him in a running mate. You need to conceptually change the way you're playing basketball, which is to say, this whole idea maybe is sort of misconstrued. This, like, maximize Steph. Well, that's making everything all about Steph, and it probably can't be anymore. It can't be all about Steph. It needs to still be Steph, but sort of twisted in a new way. We still look at the Lakers and think of LeBron James first, but he's not their leading scorer. Not their leading scorer.
And I think the model the Lakers have followed for years now, and it hasn't resulted in a championship since the bubble, and I think the bubble was a different story, but since then, they have consistently been a pretty low-seeded team in the playoffs. They've been in the play-in a number of times.
Yep.
They win playoff series.
They win.
They are a better postseason team than a regular season team because LeBron is still good enough, and Steph is still good enough to say, when I get to that postseason series, I can still be that number one. But I know in my heart of hearts, I'm not good enough to be that number one over 82 anymore, so I am going to take some plays off. And to this point, Steph hasn't been able to, like, honestly take that many plays off over the course of an 82-game regular season. He's needed to do all of the heavy lifting. LeBron is not needed to do all of the Lakers' heavy lifting throughout the course of the regular season.
All right, we're going to take some calls on this in just a second. 888-957-9570, your turn to weigh in now that you've heard all of this laid out and the fact that the Warriors are reportedly back in on Jimmy Butler discussions. Are you in? Are you out? What would you give up? What would you not give up? 888-957-9570. We'll take your calls right now. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. And while we're here, also want to let you know, having given away already another spot in the knockout tournament, the giveaways don't stop there. Have you heard yet about the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest? Because it is on. And we say this slowly because this is banana land. This is probably, in all my years in radio, I've never talked about a prize this large. I think I can safely say that. Now, some of you may be totally turned up at the idea of playing at Chase. And I get that.
You should be, honestly.
Absolutely. That, maybe that's the biggest thing you could ever imagine. But from a financial perspective, get ready to listen to this, okay? The Slam Dunk in Vegas contest. Someone's going to win travel and accommodations for four to Las Vegas. You've heard that before. You and three friends or family members, you're going to Vegas to take care of travel and hotel. Oh, by the way, you and each of the people you bring all get $5,000.
Each.
Each. 20 grand for you to spread out with whoever you bring. The ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds of the college basketball championship. And winning is this easy. You literally need to do next to nothing. Download the free Odyssey app, log in, and listen.
You're already listening, so you might as well just do it.
For a minimum of 1 hour a day. And if you are listening for an hour, the app takes care of the rest. Isn't technology beautiful? You don't need to do a damn thing. Just listen on the app. That's it. For a minimum of an hour a day, and you can enter every day, once a day, by listening for an hour. It's a national contest. Download the Odyssey app now, and you might be headed to Vegas in March with $20,000. And oh, by the way, I forgot to mention this 25 minutes ago. Donnie in Fresno. Congratulations, Donnie.
Hey, Donnie.
Donnie, we will meet you at the knockout tournament on March 3rd. We'll see you there. Thank you for listening.
Got your shot. You're going to need it.
Shoot your shot It's all. Oh wait, no, I can't finish that sentence. So the show's over. So all right, let's go to.
Also, there are multiple shots in the game of knockout. If you miss, you can still take another.
You hope. I mean,
unless
maybe,
you're a guru and don't follow your shots. Yeah, good point.
Follow your shot. It's all you got. That'd be funny. Anyway, Manly Man in San Francisco. Hi, Manly. What's good?
Not a whole lot, and hope you guys are doing well.
Yes, sir.
So, three things. One, AD went into the locker room with it looks like an abdominal strain in the Lakers game, so it's going to be more on LeBron to carry the load now.
Seems to happen most games that AD goes to the locker room, but yes, thanks for the update.
Secondly, there are two trades that could happen. One, if the Warriors got, if they really wanted to end up with a player, the Warriors could end up with Bradley Beal, maybe get some money out of the Lakers for covering his contracts the next 2 years. Also get like four or five draft picks out of it because, not the Lakers, but the Phoenix Suns.
The Suns.
Because they have all these extra draft picks they could give to the Warriors to take Bradley Beal off their case. And all they'd have to give up is like Wiggins and the other one was, what's his name, the Schroeder. To make the deal work on the whole system.
That doesn't sound accurate to me, but I'm not going to...
I'll run it real quick.
Yeah, run it. That I think Bradley Beal makes more money than Wiggins plus Schroeder, Manly Man. Did you do the ESPN?
Right, but you have to, you have to add a couple of other people. But the biggest thing I'm calling about is I'm more concerned about getting Fox. Like I said a month ago, that Fox would be available, and it sounds like he is today. And
but is he available? Is he available to the Warriors, Manly Man? How are they going to do that? And why would Sacramento do it? And does De'Aaron want that?
Well, if we only give up, Schroeder, Payton, Looney, and Kuminga, because Kuminga would be their big prize.
Yep.
They would have all 1 year contracts, so they would have over $37 million for next year to land a big superstar. Plus, we give them three firsts and two swaps. Now, that is such a sweetheart deal that it would be Fox's team in the next year or two with Curry's side by side. Now, that would be exactly what the Warriors need to get the franchise to move forward for the next 7 years with Fox. With Fox's team now. And that would be a great move for Fox if he wants to win a championship because we would have basically all of our key players except for Kuminga, and that would be the only downfall, giving him away. However, to get Fox for Kuminga, basically, sweetheart deal. We would mortgage our future, but he's worth it for three firsts and two swaps.
Yeah, Manly Man, thank you. That's an interesting thought. I have some responses in mind.
First of all, on a potential Bradley Beal to the Warriors trade, you could get it done money-wise with Wiggins, Schroeder, Payton, and Lindy Waters III.
Okay.
That works money-wise. Uh-huh.
Bradley Beal would need to approve it.
Yep.
And then you would need to figure out what the hell to do with the rest of his contract, which goes for multiple more years at north of $50 million. Okay, so that's number one. As far as De'Aaron Fox, I love him too. I really do. I love De'Aaron Fox.
He's an awesome, phenomenal young player.
But I do think that there is some measure of Swiss cheese in the idea that Manly Man just threw out. First of all, he did mortgage the entire future with a, you know, he basically said three picks and two swaps.
And Kuminga.
So that's the end of your future there. And some may be willing to do that. The areas that I think that you're missing are when you said this would be a great opportunity for Fox to win a championship. Fox would be joining one of the worst teams in the NBA if you did that. If you just take Jonathan Kuminga off the Warriors and you're De'Aaron and you're in your 20s, what you're looking at is, well, I get like 2 years of playing alongside an aging Steph and Draymond, and then what happens after that? You have totally ripped the cupboard bare, and you have absolutely nothing to put around me whatsoever. And we already have reports of where De'Aaron wants to go, and it's not here. And then lastly, I don't think Sacramento and Golden State will do business together. At least not on a deal that's this high leveraged. So fun to play around with it. And in general, if your thought is, I'd love to get De'Aaron, totally agree. But if I'm De'Aaron Fox, I do not like the scenario that Manly Man just threw out. And he does have power because here's the last part of all of this. Let's say that all those things he laid out actually happen. Let's say it. De'Aaron's like, yep, I'll go to Golden State. And the Warriors are like, the Kings send him, and the Warriors send Kuminga and all their picks, and they make the salaries work. And then a year and a half from now, De'Aaron goes, you know what?
I'm going to go play with Wemby.
I think I'd like to be a Spur as a free agent.
Yeah.
Now what do you got, Warriors? Now you have what I would argue is a decade-long problem. So anyway, fun to do the exercise because it's the trade deadline. But I don't see a way that the Warriors can get their hands on De'Aaron Fox.
The Warriors won't do that. The Warriors would not do that.
And they shouldn't.
No.
And neither should De'Aaron.
Because I think what's scary for teams like the Warriors, who, you know, an okay team right now, and you add a star to this okay team right now, okay, I could believe you that maybe, you know, this is a team that could win something this year, maybe could win something next year. And that's fine, but that's as long as De'Aaron Fox is under contract for, and if you believe all the reports, which is like a number of very credible people saying that he wants to be in San Antonio, you know that he doesn't care about being in a big, crazy market, that he wants to go with a young, rising star, and probably the reason behind it is because he wants to win championships, and he wants to attach himself to one of the best young stars in the NBA. And you're right. Even if the Warriors weren't to give up any of their first-round picks or Jonathan Kuminga, if you were just to add De'Aaron Fox to this Warrior team right now, he still probably would choose the Spurs over the Warriors a year and a half from now, even if you had all your picks left. Because if all he cares about is being attached to a young rising star who gives him a chance to win, sorry, yeah, but Wembanyama is 100 times more that than Jonathan Kuminga or anyone else the Warriors can get their hands on by the time that comes around.
I think, look, if you, this is a larger conversation that's for another day, but to me, if you really want to look at this through the lens of, like, what's the Warriors' problem right now? The Warriors' problem right now, because you could sit here and go, oh, Steph is aging and Draymond's aging and the dynasty's over, or no, it's not, we can try. We can have all those conversations, and the truth is that this will play out the way that it plays out, and Steph is probably not going to win another championship no matter where he plays. They're very hard to get. That's probable. Not saying it's impossible, but this whole thing will go, and the end of his career will be whenever it is. But Joe Lacob seems to believe that what has happened over the last 12 years means that the Warriors are a prime NBA destination. And I don't know if he's right. Because what players seem to want more than anything right now is not your city, not your jersey, not your arena, and not your ownership group. What they want is teammates. They want to play together. That's what I've watched NBA players conspire to do repeatedly. Jimmy Butler right now, for example, is not asking to go play with the Blazers. Or I don't even know, where's Jimmy Butler from? He's not asking to go home. He's not from Arizona. He wants to go play with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. And once upon a time, Kevin Durant went to play with Kyrie Irving in New York's other team. Paul George, James Harden, these guys all conspired to play with Los Angeles's other team. So I just don't think it's really about that anymore, and we're going to see it get put to the test, and I hope Joe is right. But they seem to think that the Warriors are now this massive brand and destination, and they are right now, although less than they were a few years ago. And what I don't know is if they are at all once Steph's done.
I think it's different when they're certainly much more of a destination even after Steph retires than they were before Steph.
For sure.
No
for
doubt
sure.
about that.
Yes.
You got a brand new arena. You're in San Francisco. It's a gigantic market. The Kings are in Sacramento. You have this the entire Bay Area to yourself. This is a great place to be, and I know you and I both love living here, and there's a lot of people that do. Obviously, Steph was a major attraction, but it'll be a really interesting case study when it happens, because ever since the Warriors became who they are now, and we know them now as like the most expensive, the highest valued franchise in the NBA, and one of the most expensive, highest value franchises in North American professional sports, they haven't had the freedom ever since they became who they are to go out and just like sign whoever the hell they want on in the free agent market. Like they got Kevin Durant, and it was through years of careful process. And then ever since that moment happened, and then the Steph Curry extension kicks in after his initial sweetheart deal when the Warriors got him for a major discount, they haven't ever been able to just say, all right, top free agent available, that guy is, we can make a competitive offer to him. Like, ever since the Warriors became the Warriors, they haven't ever had that ability. And when Steph Curry retires, they will have the ability to sign anyone. Anyone. It's just a matter of if they're going to come here.
And will they come? Yeah, that's the question.
You can get a group of players that decide, well, they have X amount of space. It's a good place to be. It's what happened with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard on the Clippers. What were the Clippers before then? They were recovering from the end of the Lob City era, and they were nothing at that point. And then Kawhi and Paul George said, well, they can make this work. We both are from the LA area. We enjoy it down there. Let's get this thing done. Like, you can have something like that play out where you could be a relative nobody in terms of your talent, and then you get a player who's friends with another player, and they team up with you, and then suddenly you are a who's who in the NBA again. And that's what Joe...
95-7 The Game. Breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Steph Curry's not playing tonight. We're going to get back to that conversation, but it is official. Steph Curry is out tonight against the Jazz. We had our suspicions both when the injury report was updated less than an hour ago and when the spread went careening down from 13.5 to 11.5. I'll check it again in a sec to see if it's going to go down even further. But Steve Kerr has officially announced that Steph Curry is out tonight. Here's the worst part. Steph Curry is not just out tonight. They are, quote, hopeful that he'll play tomorrow, but they will not confirm it. And then do what you will with this quote. Knees are bothering him.
That's what Steve Kerr said pregame.
Steve Kerr. Knees are bothering him. So we know about the bursitis management, but to come to a situation like this where the Warriors are coming off of back-to-back off nights, okay, back-to-back nights off.
Yeah, Sunday and Monday.
And then to get here today and see that the Warriors and Steph Curry are in this situation where the, quote, knees are bothering him is obviously a concern.
Hmm. I'm seeing it now 9.5. Warriors favored by 9.5.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's continuing to trickle down.
Well, now that it's official, that's going to keep going.
This seems... I don't want to be alarmist, but in the past, when he hasn't played both ends of a back-to-back, it was, he's sitting out this game, he's playing the next one. So the fact that it is not 100% that the Warriors are, again, quote, hopeful that he plays tomorrow, it does make it seem as if this is something a little bit more than just the run-of-the-mill bilateral knee tendonitis or bursitis that's been bothering him of late, right? Because every other time they've talked about him not playing both ends of a back-to-back, it's been, he's playing the other one. He's just not playing tonight.
Want to play the starting lineup game?
Oh. Do we have a starting lineup?
We sure do.
I won't look.
Don't look. Who do you think is starting for the Golden State Warriors tonight against portions of the Utah Jazz?
Okay, so let's talk through this. They had been starting Curry, Heald, Wiggins. Who's been starting at the four?
I'm not telling you.
Draymond hasn't been playing. Kuminga hasn't been playing. Oh, they've been playing GP2 at the four. And then Trayce Jackson-Davis. Okay, right. So what changes now? I will guess... Oh. It's either Brandon Pajemski or Dennis Schroeder.
There's not a lot on the line, so you can go ahead and just fire away.
Brandon Pajemski.
Okay, Pajemski.
Dennis Schroeder.
Schroeder.
Andrew Wiggins.
Andrew Wiggins.
GP2 and Trayce Jackson-Davis.
GP2 and Trayce Jackson-Davis. You got three.
Oh.
Out of the five, correct. The Warriors will start in the backcourt. Dennis Schroeder and Buddy Hield. In the front court. At forward, out of Kansas, Andrew Wiggins. Also at the four, Moses Moody, who was getting a turn in Draymond's absence a short time ago. Moody is in, and so is TJD at the five. So it's TJD, Moody, Wiggins, Hield, and Schroeder tonight against people in Utah jerseys.
Yeah, we probably don't know many of them in the Utah jerseys.
No, we know Colin Sexton and Seen.
I was kind of hopeful that it might not be Buddy Hield starting. I'm having a hard time watching him play basketball right now. Obviously, we know that he's really struggling to make shots. He's also doing a lot of the things I feel like that Steve Kerr oftentimes benches younger players for, which is taking ill-advised shots, and it is turning the ball over. How many times have you seen Buddy Hield either get a rebound on defense or get like the quick little shovel pass to begin the break from Looney or TJD or whoever grabbed the rebound, and he tries an outlet pass up the court and it gets intercepted?
Yep.
Like,
it's a lot.
If you're not making your shots and you're doing that with some regularity, I'm not so sure what you're bringing to the court.
Yeah.
But he's starting tonight still.
Can I ask you this? Because we've spent the better part of 3.5 hours talking about the renewed talks that are reported between the Warriors and the Heat over Jimmy Butler. And all of it is always based on Steph Curry and getting Steph help and all of this. I know this is just one night. Maybe he's right back on the court tomorrow. But, quote, knees are bothering him. How does that adjust the way you feel, if at all, about the trade deadline? Because I'd argue that most people, if I gave you, hey, Steph's going to be kind of in and out of the lineup the rest of the year, I could easily see a debate over, well, now you really need to go get somebody who can be your leading scorer.
Or the opposite.
Or kick your feet up. Kick your feet up and get your draft pick. I could see both arguments.
Yeah.
In fact, I think I could see the second one a little bit easier.
Probably.
But again, it's an injury from which he can return.
Yeah, and he will return.
And he will.
Yeah. The knees are bothering him.
Yeah, it's well, not like they could keep bothering him more.
I'm sure they've been bothering him all season.
Mm-hmm.
And he's played the vast majority of games.
Yes, and it's Utah, and they're not playing any of their players. And
you've got OKC tomorrow.
Yeah, like I think the Warriors probably feel like they've still, I mean, they are. They're still a heavy favorite in this game tonight.
9.5.
Even without him.
Probably one of the biggest margins in their favor, biggest lines in their favor all season.
Yeah.
I can see both sides too. If you were to tell me, how many games are left? About 40 games left the rest of the year, maybe like 39 now. I forget exactly off the top of my head.
Where are they at right
now? They're 22 and 23.
45 games in. So that means you've got 37 to go.
So if you were to tell me Steph only plays in 20 of the final 37, that's probably enough to, especially if it costs you something more than just Wiggins or whatever, to not go after Jimmy Butler. But Steve, even if it costs you just Wiggins.
Steve Kerr said to us last time that he was on, and he'll be on Thursday this week, by the way. Last time he was on, Dibbs asked him with regard to the concept of like, do you need to almost earn a trade? Do you need to play well enough to legitimize the idea of making a move for this season? And Steve said yes. Steve said yes. And then they went out and lost a game that was one of, on this homestand, kind of the tweeners. But it didn't feel like that. The Lakers was supposed to be not a game you should win but could win. And they didn't. They lost by double digits. I didn't feel at any point like they were going to win that game.
Did you predict that one?
I gave that one to the Warriors.
So your streak is over.
Streak is over. I'm 4-1. Yeah. So, actually watching the game, I never felt like they were going to win.
I think every Warrior fan had the same experience.
You're expecting them to get tonight, but you're not expecting tomorrow. And then it gets into a little kind of a back and forth in terms of what's left. But we had all focused on those final 10 leading up to the trade deadline. And the Warriors so far are 2-3 in that stretch. They probably needed at least 5-5. So you probably get your third win of that stretch tonight, I would expect. Don't want to assume, but I would expect. But, yeah, then here come some of the tough opponents again. The Warriors right now just don't look like a team that's capable of any sort of a winning streak,
yeah,
even like three games. And they're going to need to do that. at some point, very, very soon.
The coming injury is obviously a big factor in this, and when you try to self-evaluate who you are and how good you are and what you need and what might be the difference in being a play-in team versus maybe getting a top six seed, like, that's a big deal, not having Kuminga available for you to evaluate yourself before the trade deadline. I also think there's, I mean, as you try to figure this one out, like, I can spend every show that I'm in for Dibs yelling about they need to go make a move and Jimmy Butler and Zion and so-and-so-and-so and Cam Johnson and Vucevic. Like, that's what I think that the Warriors should do. It's what I want them to do. If you were to ask me what I think they're going to do, it's what they have already done, which is, for lack of a better term, and I know Guru used this earlier today, it's to kick the can down the road and wait for the offseason. Maybe something presents itself that is better than their current options, and they'll be poised to strike in that moment. I don't think there's any major move coming for the team this deadline.
How about this? To the point you're making, Dave McMenamin, ESPN, with us last Friday, said this about the Warriors and the trade deadline.
Based on what Steph Curry said, where I don't want us to make a move out of desperation, it wouldn't shock me if they have the blessing of Steph to not look at it as this trade deadline is the urgent moment, but this trade deadline into the offseason, into next trade deadline, where it's like, we recognize that major moves need to occur with this team, but it's about trying to find one last championship push, and let's not lock ourselves into over the next 3 weeks if the right deal doesn't present itself, but certainly be of the mindset that we know that this team needs to upgrade to give you and Draymond Green and Steve Kerr one last chance of glory. So to me, I'm not saying they're going to stand pat, but maybe another move along the lines of the Dennis Schroeder move that they already made, and saving the major tectonic plate shifting type of deal for either the offseason or as late as next year's trade deadline.
So, I mean, I think that's what you're talking about.
Probably the most likely outcome.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, that's the favorite right now, is a big old pile of nothing.
I would be fine with making a trade for someone like Cam Johnson, who's under contract for two more years beyond this year, still saving enough flexibility to wait for something to present itself in the offseason. Not that that's my number one, the thing that I'm rooting for more than anything else, but if it's that or nothing, I'd still prefer that. I mean, Cam Johnson's like, the Jimmy Butler one is tough because there's a chance and a decent chance he's with you for 3 months and then he goes somewhere else. The Cam Johnson one is just a solid player who's with you for 2.5 years. Or if things go poorly, you could trade him and recoup the assets you sent out to acquire him in the first place.
Yeah, no, I'm totally in on the idea of, and again, I say I'm totally in. You know, I mean, we're doing exactly what Steph Curry asked us a few weeks not to do. He's like, get off the trade machine, stop making stuff up. It's hard to be totally in on a player or out on a player when I don't know what it is that they're giving up or what the concept is. I think that it's been interesting that over the last handful of weeks, suddenly the job that Mike Dunleavy is doing as GM is starting to look like, I hear a lot of people now taking shots at the job Mike Dunleavy's. You still haven't gotten Stephanie help. And those moves you made in the offseason, they sucked, which is odd in many ways because it's like you got to understand where a move comes from. Like, that move was born out of the fact that Clay was like, I'm out. Clay's like, I'm out. And he is allowed to just be out. But instead, he did the same thing that Kevin Durant did, which is like, let's get creative and make this a trade. And the Warriors brought in three players and then used their mid-level on Melton. He gets hurt. Buddy Hield is great at the beginning. Then he gets cold. Then Kyle Anderson doesn't really fit. I mean, look, and then the Dennis Schroeder thing, same thing. You're making a move out of desperation because that was Melton's job. And then he got hurt. And now it's like, okay, let's try Dennis Schroeder. Not a perfect fit.
And honestly, the trade to acquire Schroeder, like, no-brainer. Great move.
They gave up absolutely nothing.
A net of 2 second-round picks.
So I am still very much, at this moment at least, I am in Mike Dunleavy's corner. And I do think that he's taken the right approach in terms of how aggressive and then how passive are we going to be in certain moments? And that's the message that Steph and Steve Kerr were trying to give a couple of weeks ago, which is that, like, we'll make a deal if there's a good deal. But I don't want, and this was my major point today, I don't want the Warriors to make a move because we're all bored. And that's what it feels like right now. This Jimmy Butler idea is born out of, this team's not playing well, we want something different. Hell, we're sitting here doing an afternoon drive on the home of the Warriors. A Jimmy Butler trade would be great for us. It would be great for us, but that's not a good reason. I love the Warriors. I love my job. I love this station. I want it to go very well. I believe that it is, and it will continue to. But that's not a good reason for the Warriors to go make a trade, because we want to shuffle the deck. Like, that's a big, expensive, potentially problematic way to shuffle the deck. That's all I'm saying.
Let's also not fool ourselves and pretend that Mike Dunleavy has, like, he's not the only voice in the room that is deciding, make that trade for Markkanen. Don't make this trade for Butler. Don't make that trade for Brandon Ingram. It is a collaborative process, and who has the ultimate final say? So we probably don't know for sure, but it is not Mike Dunleavy saying, yeah, we're doing that. No, we're not doing that. So there, if you're blaming Mike Dunleavy, there's plenty of blame to go around. I look at the Mike Dunleavy conversation similar to how I view the Steve Kerr conversation. There's so many Warrior fans out there who are getting kind of sick and tired of Steve Kerr. And, like, I hear you. The team hasn't been playing very good, and has he made wrong decisions here and there? Sure, of course. Should he be trying different combinations? I think he should be starting Quentin Post. Steph Curry said he was the happiest dude in Chase Center when Quentin Post made 5 threes last week. If that's not the sign that you should play him more, I don't know what is. So yeah, there's some times where you can say, hey, Steve, like, do this a little more, do that a little less. I get it. I don't think they should be starting Buddy Hield. That's another example. But much like you're saying with Mike Dunleavy, and you've got a bunch of bad choices to choose from, for Steve Kerr, I can say the same thing. Honestly, you can't possibly believe, that there is a right combination with what this roster currently is. Like, Steve Kerr could work all his magic possible and get the best possible starting five out there, the best possible closing five out there, and guess what? This is still going to be a 500 basketball team, because that's just what they are. There's no magic solution here that will magically turn this group into a something better than what they are right now, which is 500.
You will like one of the other Steve Kerr quotes that came out of his pregame media availability.
Okay, what'd he say?
Quentin will play tonight. He gives us a dimension we don't have. We got to keep playing him for sure.
Yeah, you do. You absolutely need him. Yeah.
Well, again, they need that dimension.
So you're saying Vucevic?
Well, huh? I've been in favor of Vucevic the entire time, because same reason. He's a dimension you don't have. He is not going to be preventative financially going forward. It's just a lower risk game that I also think makes you better. And that's how I view maximizing Steph Curry. I don't view it as, let's go get big names who got that ha-ha. That's not how I look at it. I look at it as, what does Steph Curry need on the floor? Steph Curry needs space creators. That's not Jimmy Butler. I'm not saying Nikola Vucevic over Jimmy Butler or over Cam Johnson or this, that, or the other. I'm just saying Vucevic is clearly, his skill set will make life easier for Steph Curry. Now, if Quentin Post wants to go do it every night, great. That's a younger, cheaper way. Go ahead. But I'm not going to take one performance and now decide that Quentin Post is Nikola Vucevic, who apparently has hit more three-pointers than Klay Thompson in his career, and I didn't know that. Like, that's a very accomplished NBA player for a long time. So when people see Post and he puts up 5 threes, they're like, we don't need Vucevic. I'm like, yes, you do. That's exactly why you need Vucevic. He's showing you that that skill set helps Steph Curry. So go get a more consistent version of that skill set, who probably would be wonderful for Post to be around. You'd love for Post to be around Vucevic.
Yeah.
Put him on the floor together. Put him in the locker room together. Put them on the bench together and let him learn from that guy. I've not decided yet that Quentin Post is now a future NBA rotational player yet because he had a nice night last week.
Yeah, and he's Vucevic, that is under contract for next year as well. So he would not be just a rental.
And a very manageable number of $21 million.
Yeah, I also, and I'm probably overreacting to one good game from Quentin Post. I'm of the mind that you start him because, as you're talking about, he gives you something that nobody else can, and you need that in that starting group. You need shooting alongside Steph. I at least am happy that Steve Kerr has moved away from GP2 in the starting lineup.
Right, and maybe that's why.
And added Moses Moody.
I agree with you, but TJD can stay in there because the other four guys that are in there right now, in theory, can shoot.
Yes, yes. Like, the starting group they had been running with, which was Steph, and it was Buddy Hield, and then it was Wiggins, GP2, and TJD. You've got issues all over the place because you've got GP2 and TJD, who defenses can ignore unless they're, you know, in the paint. Like, GP2 and TJD are just getting ignored defensively. When they're on offense, defenses don't need to pay attention to them at all. So you got that issue on offense. Plus, it's Buddy Hield, who is still providing spacing, even though he's not making shots, but he can't make a shot right now. He kind of fooled us where he scored 10 points a couple of games ago. 7 of them came in garbage time down the stretch, by the way. So you have that issue on offense, and then on defense, you've got Buddy Hield, who can't stay in front of anybody. Buddy Hield is a bad defensive player. So you have two dudes on offense that are ignored, and then you have one dude on defense who can't guard anybody. So you've got issues galore with that starting group. At least Moody gives you a little bit more spacing offensively, and he's a better defender defensively. So that makes things a little more palatable. And when Steph comes back, I would also think about not starting Buddy Hield unless he has a great game tonight. But we will see. I will just say, Moody over GP2 in the starting group with the rest of the group around him, it does make a lot more sense. So yeah, I agree with that for sure.
Absolutely. 888-957-9570. The reports are that the Warriors and the Miami Heat are back in the conversation together over Jimmy Butler, and that the price has come down. The price was real, real big to begin with, at least reportedly. So how far has it come down? I don't know. But to me, that's also kind of like, that's where I would plant my flag in the sand over this whole thing. I would plant my flag in the sand over this whole thing in such a way. If the Warriors want to have this conversation, and apparently they are, as I've said all day, I'm 95% out. I can see one little sort of window based on a bunch of circumstances. And if the Warriors and Heat hit all of those, then I would begrudgingly say, okay, let's take a look at this. But I really want the Warriors to swagger into this room. They have to swagger into this room. They have the power in this one. The Heat do not. Jimmy Butler does not. Every hour that goes by, the Heat are only further and further and further into the quicksand. And so
they're shaken in South Beach right now.
This is an untenable situation. It's an untenable situation. So they absolutely 100% have to get Jimmy Butler off the roster. That does not command anything. The only reason, like, quite frankly, if you didn't have to do this salary match thing, the Heat would end up giving up Jimmy Butler for a couple second-round picks. That's essentially what they're looking at right now because of the way that this is played out. The salaries have to match, so you're going to have to put some people in there. But all thoughts on first-round picks and Jonathan Kuminga and all of these things about Jimmy Butler, if any of those are still on the table, I'm out. I'm out. And I just think that we're falling in love with name value and the desire to see something different. I totally get it. I get it. I, too, would love to see a little something different, but not at any cost.
Not at any cost, no doubt. I mean, everybody has a price, and the price is right. You make the move. I think maybe our main difference is we differ in opinion about how good of a player Jimmy Butler still is. And there's no doubt he's not as good as he once was, just like Steph. But we're talking about, and I know you will just say, well, he's never won a championship. This is legitimately one of the greatest playoff performers of this era. Like, he has been amazing in the playoffs. And I know you'll say that was a couple of years ago, and it was in the bubble.
I don't even argue that.
And it was...
The reason I bring it up is because of the inconsistency with which we used to talk about players. There's too many players out there right now where we hang that around them. Oh, you never won a championship. But then we look at Jimmy Butler, and he's got this reputation for just like he's the playoff dog of all time. It's like, what are we talking about? He's never done it.
35, 11, and 5, 25, 3, and 3, 35, and 4, 56, 9, and 2, 42, 8, and 4.
He's a great player.
That was all in one series.
Exactly.
To upset the one-seeded Milwaukee Bucks.
Well, why don't we just sign the We Believe Warriors then? Because they, too, once upon a time, were amazeballs in one series.
He also won the next series and the next series after that.
Against?
The New York Knicks and the Boston Celtics. Who would win the championship the next year and lost to the Warriors the year prior.
Right.
That's a very good team.
He went on a heater.
He was amazing.
He was.
Oh, my God.
That's a great word. Was.
He was amazing in that series. I think he still has that in him.
We're sponsored by Honda of Vallejo. Still time for your calls at 888-957-9570. Grandy in for Dibs, Willard and Dibs.